Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7. Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school, you're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Harry Hamlin's homemade bolognese sauce spices up Lisa's party. Crystal's non-apology pushes Sutton to her boiling point, which turns into an insult about Crystal's leather pants. Plus, Kathy has unexpected news for Kyle about their sister. Selling Sunset star Mary Fitzgerald joins me to recap this episode. This is Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Season 11, Episode 8, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly Leather Pants. Let's get into it. Nice to meet you, and thank you for being here.
Thanks.
How's it going in the entertainment world and your show and your life?
Yeah, I mean, it just keeps going. It keeps blowing up and still doing well. I think we're the longest running show on Netflix. And
stop, really?
Yeah, with going on season 8, and I think 7 is the longest that it's run, any show's run. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So
that's amazing. Wow. That's amazing. And it's been a good experience.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you know, there's always ups and downs. There have been a couple moments where I'm like, I am not doing this anymore. It's not worth it. And then, you know, I calm down and I'm like, okay, maybe it is. I just have to go out to my punching bag, get a little workout in. And then I'm like, okay, I can handle it. But
who are the top 5 brokers in California? Not doesn't have to be famous, but who are they famous?
Top 5. I would say, Frederick Eklund is out here now, and he's really good. I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's like Joyce Ray is really good. Brandon and Rainey Williams are really good. There's only maybe 5 or 6 like really top agents that do all the multi-million dollar homes. I mean, Sean Elliott is amazing too, but he does all over. He does New York, Miami, and LA, but that man still is able to get like these $100+ million listings all the time. So,
well, I would wonder if because it sounds like the biggest people, which I think might be the case in New York too, the biggest ones aren't the ones that are necessarily famous because they have very private billionaire clients, and maybe that they don't want to take their eye off the ball.
Yeah. I mean, there are quite a few of them that are not on shows and they don't have anything. I mean, Sean will make appearances on, he had something, I'm not sure how well it did. He had some show on the East Coast, I think in the Hamptons. What it's called. I'm not sure how well it did.
I think I know what you're talking about because I saw like a modern Sag Harbor house that they were marketing on there. And I don't remember what it was, but I think,
yeah,
I think I saw that and it was not very good, but it was interesting to me because I'm interested in real estate. I'll buy a house with less hesitation than I'll order a pasta. And I'm not exaggerating. Like I just know.
I can buy out in LA.
I know. Well, I've thought about Malibu. It's just too far to justify. But I've thought about Malibu. I would be in Malibu, no question. And yeah. Every time I go, I think about that as an investment and when it drops, etc. But I always buy personal real estate that I love and that I am sort of emotional about, but that I treat like an investment where if I had to, I could live there. If I had to, I could sell it in a minute. It's very like marketable to anyone. And I'm always designing with investment in mind. And I'm always buying when it's low. And so I just bought an apartment in Manhattan and I walked it. Usually it's just a thought in my head. And then when I see the right thing, I just walked in and I had it by the end of the day. I literally did have it by the end of the day. Uh-huh. And the same thing happened in the Hamptons because I'll secret something that I want. And then I'll get it. And it happened to me in Connecticut. I had two houses at the same time, Hamptons, two houses at the same time. And then you're sitting there going, which one am I going to keep and which one I will have to rent out or sell one. But I love personal real estate.
Yeah. That's what I would love to start doing that as well. And that's the goal, to keep adding and adding to our portfolio. We just did that with this house that we looked for so long for our personal house in LA, and nothing just felt right. And I was like, I'm not gonna buy something until I know, because if we're gonna live in it, I want it to be perfect. I see homes all day long, every single day.
Yes.
I know when I walk in, I'm like, yes. And there's some, like, I have done that. My wedding venue, I did that. It was out of my budget though. So,
yeah.
So, there are certain homes where I'm like, eventually you just know when you know,
but you also have to be nimble that you may love it, but you have to think about how it's marketable to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So how savvy on The Housewives are you? I had never seen this episode, and believe it or not, I'm not that savvy. I know many of the people, but I don't know some of the people and don't know the conflicts.
Yeah. I'm not that savvy with it, but funny enough, I always joke around like on our show about The Housewives and stuff. I'm like, come on, we're not going to be like what The Housewives and stuff. But I've really never seen it. So
that's funny. You say it.
Yeah. Cause I just like, I've always heard like the wine throwing and all this stuff.
Yes.
And I watched that episode and I was like, I should never say that again, actually, because they had more of like camaraderie and like, you know, supporting each other than we do on our show.
Yes, that was a tame episode, though. I've seen Lisa throw a wine glass. That was a tame episode. But yes, Beverly Hills, from my experience meeting them personally and being on that show, they're more savvy.
Yeah.
They're very aware of the cameras and that, you know, so they're very aware of what's going on.
Yeah. I know Crystal. I've seen her out multiple times. I was on a panel with her at one point. And so I know her just from red carpets and stuff like that.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. But.
So this is sort of a whole event that is at the house with Harry Hamlin cooking, and they sort of lead up and let us know that Harry is always the one doing the cooking and he's cooked for this group before. And that's sort of his thing, which is actually nice. He should do a cooking show or something. And I've been to their house because I used to be pretty friendly with Lisa. So I've been to this house, and Kyle is right that it's a nice property. Like, it's a nice property and it's very homey. A couple of times in this show and in all shows, I am watching and thinking to myself, like, about clutter in the house. Like, I always am looking at what's everywhere, because I'm psychotic about stuff. So I'm looking all over at all the olive oil and all the dishes and all the stuff in their fridge. And it reminded me, recently I was talking to another housewife who said to me that on Beverly Hills, the show never pays for events or parties, and that the people pay. And that, and this person said that Lisa Rinna never wanted to really have a party because she doesn't want to, like, pay for, you know, a TV quote unquote fake party. Right. And they really are TV parties. And it's funny because my parties that I had on Housewives of New York, they did pay. I definitely, yeah, 100%. I wouldn't spend.
They don't pay for ours.
Interesting.
No, Jason, if it's a company party, Jason pays for everything. But they never pay for any of ours. Anything we do, because they say, no, it's your life. It's your event. You pay for it.
But they then will make you have an event that you might not have. And that's not, like, I would not normally have a s'mores and whores party.
We just say no. We're like, well, yeah, fine, but it's going to be on our terms. I mean, if you want this big glam party, that's not what we would normally do. Like, if so many times Jason would normally do it. He's a bit extra. So he does throw big, massive things, and he loves doing it. It doesn't bother him at all. He spent so much money on parties.
Well, it's in line with the labels and the logos and the showing of the stuff that this group in particular wants to have a big pissing contest party. Not that that's what this was at all. Lisa's party was not that at all. But this group wants to have a made-for-TV party, just like they wear made-for-TV outfits, you know, like that only the camera people are seeing.
Yeah.
So, and your show's like that too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'm not really like that. I don't feel as much. I mean, if I'm going to throw a party, I'm very low-key and very, I would throw an intimate dinner party, like very tasteful dinner party. I would not have like a 200 people there.
Yeah, exactly.
We planned for 300 and there's almost 500.
That's insane. Okay. So now we're at the house and Harry's cooking and talking about the bolognese. And I like watching them shop together and I like their dynamic. There's always speculation again about their dynamic. And I just think that every marriage is not one size fits all. And I like their partnership. I like them together.
Yeah.
And I want to taste his bolognese.
Me too.
And now we get to, and we're at Kathy's and they're doing this tennis and I'm distracted. And I've been to Kathy's too, but I don't think I've been to this house. And I'm distracted by what structure is behind them playing tennis. And there's like all this stuff in the window. And I'm thinking about like what Kathy, who does all these crazy parties and has so much stuff, what she has in that storage unit. And I was thinking when I saw this house, because there's a lot of house talk on this show, that I like a small house. Now, I have a very big house and I have a compound where I am now, but I also have different homes that are smaller. I've had both.
Yeah,
I like a small, manageable, perfect house. Not like all these places where stuff can accumulate, dust can accumulate, you have to manage it. And so Kathy's house is beautiful, but I liked Erica's house. I actually did. I'm not a renter, so I don't like the word rent.
Right.
Because I like things, I like to do things to things, and I would never feel right improving upon a rental.
Right.
And I want to actually ask you about rental versus owning in your opinion, because in some cases, I'm sure it's smarter financially. But for me, I'm psychologically never a renter.
Right.
But I liked Erica's home. It just seemed like small and perfect.
I agree. I'm not, no matter if I were a billionaire, I would not have a huge home. It's just not, it's not for me, but I like the style of her home. The whole exterior was of Kathy's was absolutely stunning. I think just on a smaller scale.
Right.
And I guess for some people would be a huge family, whatever, or if you just like it, that's fine. But I would have it on a smaller scale. I just don't need that much space. It's just more work.
And she does have three kids and the three kids' kids, and she loves to entertain, and that does make some sense. And yeah, and I was going to say they have a house in the Hamptons too, but those are their two homes and they really are home people. Yeah. I thought it was a relatable conversation for Erica, and you don't know because you haven't seen the show.
Well, I saw this episode though.
No, I mean in life. Erica has always like got a brick wall and hard, and I haven't seen it. I've probably seen it my whole life. Maybe 10 episodes Erica's been in, but she's like a brick wall. And here she's being relatable. And what she's talking about to me is relatable in that she was on someone else's program. Like she, you know, just add hot young girl, married the rich guy, and she was on his program, which was just insert her. And it felt like now she liked being on her program. And I also liked her being vulnerable about that because we watched her do a song called It's Expensive to Be Me and talk about $50,000 a month in glam and travel with a glam squad to Dubai and really fly on planes and lay it on really thick and really braggy, you know, really braggy about money.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was extremely relatable. I mean, it happens all the time at different levels and, you know, in different situations, but so many times in a marriage, you know, if it's money, if it's just control, whatever it is, I mean, like that is your image and you really don't have a voice. So it's almost, even if you go through tough times, making that transition, it's a really amazing and liberating, to find that voice and that freedom. I've done it many times. There is something, I think she's much more likable now.
Same.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if you're she's humanized and it's,
same.
It's relatable where you're like, oh my God, you can feel her emotions and yeah, I liked it. I thought it was very brave of her to do that.
She has an identity now where before her identity was a persona, an image, a Pat the Puss, the money, the plane. No matter what rich person you're married to, they're counting on some level. They know what you're doing. They know what you're spending on some level. People think that they are, they don't know and they don't care. I had a friend who was with a very wealthy man years ago. Oh, he doesn't care. Oh, he doesn't care. And she was running amok and he cares. They care. And even if they don't care, they know. And there's nothing like not having to ask somebody or answer to somebody when you want to buy something.
Yep. Yeah, I think Lisa said that too on the show that they have separate accounts too. I mean, she knows everything going on, but they also have separate accounts, and that's Mermaine and I do that too. We have a joint account, but we both have separate accounts, and we mostly do because I've been screwed over in the past.
Wow!
I will not allow all of my money to be and Mermaine's a polar opposite. He's so stubborn and won't. I mean, just too much pride to ever take money. He's like, I don't need your money. And he is so prideful. But I still just, for my own sake, my own peace of mind, no one can take that. It's only my name. It's only like, no one can do that to me. And because my ex-husband did it and I won't ever let that happen again.
I don't think I've ever fully shared a bank account with someone. I think I'd sooner share a toothbrush. I swear to God, which is disgusting. But sharing a bank account with someone, and I know I've heard, and I had it on my talk show, a woman say, when you get married and you should have one different account that has a different credit card that's like for the house and for the household. And that sounds like organized, but it also sounds not like bullshit, but not real. Like it's like this little thing that you do to pretend that you're together, but that's like this house account. And you could easily be like, at the end of the month, let's just split everything too. Like it just feels not,
yeah.
It would feel really, I can't imagine asking someone, can I buy this apartment or can I buy this bag or just even them knowing the self-consciousness.
In my opinion, you should never have to tell someone like your partner, as long as you're not doing anything like that is, you know, disrespecting the marriage. I mean, but it's nobody's business if you go buy purse or diamond earrings or whatever it is. It's not his business. You work for your money. You can spend it the way you want.
100%. I'm a big fan of having someone's credit card.
I'm sure.
I'm a big fan of having someone's credit card. That's a big Bethany. That's big. That's big on the Bethany list. That's a good one. Yeah. Poor Paul. Okay. So I thought the Kyle family Christmas card, it made me tearfully sentimental.
Yeah.
They're a solid, good couple. And they we're both very social together and similar friend groups. And they, you know, they have different priorities now and grew apart.
Hopefully they'll find their way back. Sometimes it just takes like, you know, some time apart, and hopefully they'll find their way back to each other and work
as friends. I don't think they'll find their, I don't know, but I don't think. And then they talked about Kim with the holidays being alone. I think that's also relatable, and the sisters want to kind of take care of her. But I was thinking right now, because it's the holidays, some people want to be alone during the holidays, and it feels worse for other people to want to feel sorry for you if you want to be alone or are alone during the holidays. That's kind of worse.
Yeah. If you truly want to be alone, if you're just alone, you have nobody, you have no options. That is sad. But if you really do, there are a lot of people that just, you're just in a place in your life, you just don't really want to be involved at the time. And that's okay. I mean, if they want to ask one time, just like, hey, you're welcome to come. But if she truly wants to be alone, let her.
Well, it's a pandemic during this episode. And it's also the holidays. I'm realizing more and more, it's not a one-size-fits-all either, and everybody wants to shove what their version of the holidays is on everybody else. Families want to do it. People want to do it in their way, the way they want to cook. They want to cater. They want to, you know, and it's very hard to find your own identity during the holidays when you're being pushed in so many different directions.
Yeah, it is. I think that everyone should just, you know, stand their ground. If that's what you want, do it. I mean, it's not one size fits all. Everybody has different needs at different times, and it's the holidays. You should be happy.
Yeah. Or if you have to be sad, reflect, and the pressure of the day doesn't have to be everything. Like, it's the 25th today, I have to be happy, because then if you're not happy, you feel worse than it just being a day that you want to relax and watch movies. You know, like, people have to give themselves a break, I think, especially during the holidays. It comes on quickly. And then if it doesn't become everything you wanted it to be, either as a kid or as an, you know, in a relationship or a divorce, it can crash pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it's easier and better to just treat it like a day, do whatever it is that you need mentally, physically, whatever.
Yeah.
On that day, there'll be next year. There'll be many, many more. So,
yeah, well, you're right.
Just do it. Everyone just needs to do what is best for them. I think in general, in life, just people stay out of each other's business.
Yeah. That book was amazing. It was a Dolce Gabbana Pink Queens book. I don't even know where you find that, because I looked it up online after. And Sutton is in it twice. Like, that is a queen.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She was in the book twice.
I missed that part. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. No, that's pretty epic.
That's kind of epic. She's in a Dolce Gabbana book, dressed, because I guess she was married to a very wealthy man, and like, she probably was draped in Dolce. It's very
good for her.
I love it. Good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff, and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
So we go to Garcelle's house, also cute, charming house. I like Garcelle. I know Garcelle. I've met Garcelle. Okay. She is one of the probably five people that asked me before she was on the show what she should do or how is she going to survive. And I always stay quiet during those conversations, almost to the point of being standoffish because I just don't want any part of giving any kind of housewives advice.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know how it feels to be on that show, but I do have people ask me on ours, like for the OC. I've had people call and ask like for advice, and you know, I do give a little bit of advice, but I'm like, everybody's different. You know,
it's such a bad thing to say, and you feel like you're gatekeeping, but there's no upside, and it's not the same dynamic that you're in or walked into because it's a different game now, and mine is. 15 years ago, we were like bedrock. We were like, cars were starting with like our feet at the bottom of the car. We were like, you know, horse and wagons. It was 15 years ago. It's not the same. We didn't have HD and we didn't have Twitter.
Wow. I can't believe how fast time flies. It does not feel like 15 years ago.
We didn't have social media.
Really?
We didn't have glam budgets. We didn't have green screens. We didn't have backgrounds that were like in a studio, is in your own actual house with your actual wall behind you.
I am so jealous. Like, that is the time to do Housewives or any sort of reality show when there's no social media.
Nope.
There's no haters every single day criticizing every single thing you say and do.
No, and there's no glam. You were yourself. You actually could be who you really were every day. You didn't like walk in wearing a couture outfit, pretending that that's what you have lunch in. You just like were wearing what I'm wearing right now. Like, we're what you're at. You know what I mean? You were just normal women in New York, that some of us had money, but even the ones who had money were still wearing sweatpants.
Yeah.
Now it's like an exaggerated version. So I don't know how I would advise. So anyway, I met Garcelle at Mark Burnett's house. I've always liked her. And that's when she asked me how to navigate it. And I was just like, hey, you look great. You know, just like probably just like skirting the issue. But I like Garcelle. And do we have any idea why her son is studying Japanese in particular? It's a very specific language in high school to be studying. That's such a teenager expecting his mom to be quiet in a kitchen, which is the center of the house, when you could easily go upstairs. Like, it was so ridiculous. She was like, shh, everybody, like, what are you talking about? You're in the middle of the kitchen doing your homework. Like, go upstairs. What are you doing?
Go to a different room. Like, in your room, you should have like a desk in your room anyway. The kitchen counter is not where you do homework or you do something. Like, go to your room.
Yeah, or do it here and too bad. Like, learn Japanese while I'm cooking and while your brother's like, what? I don't even know. That's such teen life where like parents let the kids run the show.
I thought the same thing. I thought, well, maybe they just did that for show purposes, like to give some sort of a thing, because surely she would have just been like, this is a kitchen. We cook and we do dishes in the kitchen. If you need to study in your room, if you don't like the noise, then don't be in the kitchen.
So true. She wasn't doing like a cabaret show.
If you don't like it.
Yeah, she was doing what you do in the kitchen. Like, she wasn't having sex.
Right.
She was unloading the dishwasher and cooking. Exactly. Right. That's what homework is done. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that would have been really, this is exactly what, here's me reenacting that with Bryn. Mom, I'm like, are you okay right now? Like, and the kid actually said to the brother, are you okay? The kid doing the homework, I think his name is Jax, said to the brother, are you okay? It's like, I would have said to Bryn, hi, this is a whole house. Other people live here. This is the kitchen.
Yeah.
I was thinking about Lisa and Harry, and I was thinking about all of the homegrown tomatoes and how I fiddle around the house, like with organizing and things. Like I'm a fiddler, packing gifts, doing. I was wondering if that's like, if he's like the one who's fiddling around in the garden. It just seems like a nice thing for people to take up, like golf, where you could like just play around in the garden and then have fruits and vegetables.
I do. I have a garden.
You do?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Okay. So I have to be honest about this though, because my husband is more like Harry, where he's good at all those things. It's my ideas to do these things. And I buy the stuff and I plan it all out. And then he upkeeps everything because I forget. So he's got a green thumb and I don't, but I want to. So I go check on him. I'm like, yeah, we've got all like the plants and I'll go pick them. He does all the upkeep and he will actually plant them because he knows how to do everything. And he's much better at it. And he's a much better cook too. But I do make pasta and I'm very good at bolognese and chili, but I'm very bad. I cook in general, but my husband can cook quite well.
You're good with ground beef.
Like Harry, and he's very handy so around the house. So
that's nice. I this is how crazy I am. I have an apple orchard, and the problem is, well, first of all, I had a dental issue this year, so like I couldn't even eat the apples and my heart is broken. It's the first year we had like the most gorgeous, they look like Fiji or Gala apples, but I digress, and they're so sweet. But the problem is it upsets me because there's so many apples and what are we going to do? Like now I'm forcing people to take apples home. We're forcing people to eat applesauce. I feel like I'm giving baskets of apples away. So if I had all of these vegetables and things, I would feel like a responsibility to the garden, not just to take care of it, but to like distribute its goods. And I think that'd be too much of a job for me.
Why can't you sell them?
Well, I don't need another job. That's a real job. I'm saying, like, what are we doing with all these tomatoes? Like, I need one tomato tonight or two tomatoes. I don't need 70. So Harry, you know, thank God for the show so he could cook and use all those tomatoes. I would love to go pick a tomato and have it, but then the other 30
are going to go back.
I guess, but it's compost. I tell everyone that works with me, just go do your food shopping outside there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have to do that too, because I do, I've got avocados and tomatoes and, there's a bunch of things out there, but I've let a couple of them go bad because and I don't mean to, and I get so upset when it happens because I'm like, no, there's my homegrown ones.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly, you're proving my point. And like, if you have a giant thing of basil and you need just a little, now you got to make jars of pesto. It feels like a project.
Yeah. I tell people go take our basil too, because the basil goes so fast.
Shit. All right. Well, here's what I think would be cool.
So I have to have everybody come. I was like, pick it. It's still not enough. Like there's still extra all the time.
If I were shooting a show, what I would do right now, and I might do it in my real life anyway, is I would say to my whole team, everybody decide one thing that you want. Cause I have a WeWork building on this property. So my staff works in a separate structure. Okay. So I would say to everybody, what do you each want? And we'd each plant something for us. And then everybody would get to take vegetables and fruits home because I have a lot of people here. I have probably like 6 to 10 people. So if everybody took, maybe I'm going to grow a garden based on Harry and Lisa and you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very satisfying though, like to be able to pick your own things. There is something very satisfying about it.
When do you plant?
I think it depends on
the thing.
Yeah, the thing.
All right, I'm going to look into this.
I'm not that good of a gardener. It was just that, like, I want it on my property. I had a nursery come, like, actually plant the different types of trees. And then we bought all the herbs and are upkeeping them. But I don't know if we did it at the right time of year or not.
All right, I'm going to find out. But you're also in LA, so that's a produce capital.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Dorit, it's funny. She was talking about her bridal collection. I don't know what ended up happening with it, but Nectaria, they've reached out to me. They actually reached out to me to make me a wedding dress before. And I then connected that was someone that It sounds like Dorit is doing like a collaboration with them for one collection. It doesn't sound like Nektaria is going to be her company. It sounds like one of these sort of housewives business things where it's not really your business, but it's like a thing to talk about on the show.
And it's a line kind of thing.
Right. Like Kyle had a store, Aileen 2, but it wasn't really her store. It was Aileen 2's store, but it was called Kyle because a brand has come to you. You're on Beverly Hills. How do we get involved? And so that's what this sounds like. And I bet you it's beautiful. I'd love to actually have a dress or see a dress. I don't know if this comes to fruition, but I like the idea.
Yeah, I saw the one that they just showed the picture of on the episode, and it looked stunning. So I don't know. I don't know either if it actually got made or
I don't know. What did you do for your wedding? What did you wear?
You know, they're not there anymore. It was called Fleur Vert, and it's okay. A boutique, beautiful boutique, a bridal store on Melrose Place. So charming. And the dresses were just stunning. And so it was actually the opposite of what I thought I was going to do. It was not the style that I thought I was going to pick. I had my mind, like, I had a vision of what I wanted, and then everything just kept getting messed up. Like it was our third venue, like that we went through. The first one, production and the venue could not get on the same page. So I already kind of started deciding like the whole vibe of the wedding, started picking things out. And I was like, guys, come on, we have to get this locked in. And we started doing stuff. I put down the deposit, and this happened twice. And then they were like, no, it doesn't work. I was like, oh my God. And Sean Elliott actually helped me find this other one. It was this gorgeous house in Malibu. And then the husband and wife got divorced, or they decided to get divorced. And the wife was still like, it's fine. You can still do the wedding there. The husband was really pissed and was like, nope. He's like, I don't want any wedding here. We're not doing it. So 5 weeks before my wedding.
What?
Yes. 5 weeks before. And we're filming. And they legit production made me, they would not let him go. They're like, okay, wait, because he called production for saying, listen, we got a problem. They just backed out. And so you guys aren't going to be able to film there. She can't have the wedding there. They're like, don't tell her yet. Don't call her.
Because they wanted it for the show. They
wanted it for the show. So I legit thought this was just for the show. And they never do that. But I was like, they would say, don't answer your phone too, if we're filming. And so, I was sitting there my phone was ringing. I just turned it over. They're like, no, go ahead and answer it. Go ahead. I was like, and I just kind of like looked away, and they're like, Mary, go ahead and answer it. I was like, what are they doing? And so I pick it up. I see it's Sean. I pick it up and I'm like, I didn't really buy it at first. I thought they're just messing with me. Just to see what I'm going to do. Cause no way. Why would they have?
No, 5 weeks before they would never.
But they did. They were just like, please just wait until like this time where we can catch her real.
Right. Of course. That's gold.
Yeah. And after we were done, I was like, what? That wasn't real. Right. I was like, I mean, what happened? And they were like, no, that was real. We just asked them to call while we were on camera. And I was like, no, Mary, that was real. They backed out. And it was, oh my God.
Like, whose deposit? Wait, did you really pay for your, don't tell me you paid for your own wedding and gave it away for content. Yeah. What? You know, I didn't pay a goddamn dime in my wedding.
Oh, I mean, I got like things where.
Trade outs.
Yeah. Like trades for stuff. I still had to pay a good amount because the show was still new at the time. I mean, but I still got quite a few things. I got discounts or for trade for things because it was on the show. Yeah.
I can't imagine paying for a wedding that was covered by a television show, not only because you're giving away something that's so valuable, because it's not the same. Like, it's like saying when I go on a vacation with Ramona to Mexico or somewhere that I would pay for that. Like, it's like torture going on show vacations.
How many seasons had the Housewives been on when you were on it? Were you right at the beginning?
It was my own spinoff show. It was 3 seasons. And then I had a spinoff that was Bethany getting married.
Okay. Well, see, so ours was, we were at the beginning of season 2, and it wasn't like there was anything. It was a brand new show. And we were just happy, like second season.
I know.
Oh my God. So I was like, oh,
I know.
And I say yes to everything.
I know.
About that. I'm like, I'm a team player. Okay.
I know.
So I know. Did it, but I did get a lot of stuff like for free. It would have cost triple what I paid, at least. But
I know.
I don't know. I'm still paid probably 40, 50 grand or something. But I ended up doing it at a client's house and so was able to sell it. Everything worked out because then sold it back. Getting back to the wedding dress. It ended up, we just found out it was this new venue, which is my dream house that I was talking about, like where it was like one day and it just matched the theme. And I never thought I would pick it. I saw it on the hanger. I was like, nah. And my friend told me to try it on. She's like, just humor me, try it on.
Oh, pretty. It's like romantic and Victorian where you would have thought you'd do something more. It's gorgeous though.
Very traditional. And then, yeah, the house. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. That's like, looks like the same stance.
That's hysterical. That's stunning. Yeah. Very pretty.
That is
very pretty.
A French saying actually on my back, like no one ever sees it or anything, but then and I got it before I ever met Romaine. And it says, the only thing real in life are your dreams and love.
Oh, nice. And you got to have a dress that showcased that. That's amazing. Okay.
I just happened to have that. And then it kind of went along with the romantic vibe of...
I got it. Yeah, it's beautiful. Okay, so their table was gorgeous. Harry did a beautiful job. I like that type of not pretentious and fancy, like a homey vibe. I like the whole vibe. I like what he's wearing. I like that she's dressed casual during the scene. I miss and prefer... non-costume Lisa. I like natural, normal Lisa. She like leaned into the Erica Jane Dorit of it all. And so did Kyle. Everybody did. But the show used to be a little more down to earth. And I like that Lisa. So then Sutton walks in and now the Tomasino thing is said. And I guess it's in another language, Peeping Tom. So this is becoming like a prodding of this issue. Uh-huh. And as a side, so that's an issue between Crystal and Sutton. And now there's a side issue that seems to be getting resolved between Garcelle and Lisa Rinna. Because you saw a throwback to like something that happened and they're working on it. But now Lisa's decided that's a very producer thing. Well, why don't you have her birthday party as a show of, as an olive branch?
Yeah.
So she has the birthday party on her dime, because we've talked about parties, but this isn't like a fancy party, but she's got a bartender. So Lisa throws the party for Garcelle's birthday, which seems like I said, an olive branch. But I'm thinking about the pasta and I'm thinking about when I shot with Kyle a crossover episode years ago on Beverly Hills. And Kyle said, none of these girls eat. She said that to me. She said, no one eats on the show. And I served grilled scallops. And I forgot what else, like something very light, because I thought this is Beverly, you know, New York, we ate. Like Ramona ate, Sonia ate, I ate, Dorinda ate, like we ate.
But production has to tell me to stop eating in almost every scene. They will wait to bring food out because they're like, Mary, can you stop eating for a few minutes so that we can have this conversation? Because no one wants to see you with food. I'm like, I'm starving. I want to eat.
But back in the day before Ozempic, everybody used to ask, like, does Bethany even eat? She doesn't eat. People, assistants of mine, everyone used to say that was the number one question. Does she eat? It was like an obsession.
Yeah.
And Dorinda would always look at me. Dorinda would always tell everybody, like, this girl eats. And she'd look at me and she'd go, I don't understand how that plate fits in there. She'd like poke to my body, point to my body, and like the plate is like mounds of food. She's like, that, how does that fit in there? So she's funny about it. But I don't think anybody ate. I was looking at if anybody ate. Kyle apparently ate hers.
Yeah.
I was thinking bolognese for this group, like read the room.
I would have loved it.
Same.
I was like, oh my God, I want to see how he makes it. And like, it looks so good. It made me crave pasta actually when I watched it.
I want pasta now. It's so funny you say that. I want pasta tonight with Bryn. I was thinking I want to make homemade sauce.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
There were a lot of like typical LA things I saw. There was the ivy china that I have, that ivy pottery. And I saw what I would bet my life is a Sweet Lady Jane cake, which is a place on Melrose. That looked like a, wasn't that that?
Yeah, I think it may have been. Yeah. It may have been. It looked like it.
Yeah. And like she did it nice. Duckhorn wine was a very nice wine. Like, and they're all giving each other all these lavish gifts, which I was thinking about. The holidays and how I give out so many gifts, but that like a third of my gifts are like in the little Hermes box or in Baccarat perfect wrapping. And a third of my gifts are amazing gifts, but like they're not wrapped that well because I buy gifts in bulk and stockpile them. And then at Christmas, I'm giving them away. So I don't have them like perfect in the bag, like all the Beverly Hills housewives do. And even they brought a bottle of wine with a rose tied around it. I was thinking everything there is like appearances, even the gifts. It might not be like the most amazing gift, but it's going to be in the most amazing package.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do that in LA. You know, I guess it's all, almost everything is presentation though, but I mean, I don't know. It's a very LA thing. I'm just very not LA. I don't know.
It's a status symbol. Coming in with that bag is like coming in with an Hermes Birkin. Coming in with the little shopping bag from the store is a status symbol.
I was watching it and I'm like, God, they give good gifts. I was like, I kind of do think I'm a horrible gift giver. And so when I do, I'm like, yes, I'm so proud of myself because it's something personal. I like doing something. If I'm going to do it, I want it to be personal where it's like, I really thought it through and was something that's meaningful to the person. And if I, you know, everybody likes them. Whatever, my bracelet or something. And everyone's going to be happy with it.
Yes. You like a personalization of thought. Same with me. I am an epic gift giver. I give about 250 gifts over Christmas and everyone is literally with the individual person in mind. I love giving gifts. I love it. And like, it's just funny that Lisa has been friends with Garcelle for years because she was friends with Denise for years. And Lisa, I just want you to know, is a fixture in Hollywood. Like she's a permanent fixture that knows everyone. Yeah. She's been through every iteration of this business.
Good for her.
Yep.
Yeah. I think everybody knows who she is. I mean, it's not just like, when I watched it, I didn't know who a couple other people were, the Sutton. And I couldn't
say
Kathy Hilton. Of course I know who she is. Well, I just know Crystal because of the show.
Yeah.
Because of like the just seeing her out and stuff on the same panels. And then who else? Oh, Kyle. Of course I know who she is. Yeah. I know Mauricio from Real Estate and stuff too.
Kyle's a fixture too. Different than Lisa Rinna, but a fixture too.
Yeah. I know, what did Lisa do before? How is she such a fixture? Was she an actress or
Kyle?
No, Lisa.
She was a soap actress, and then she really, and she was mad. She was a soap actress, and then doing Dancing with the Stars really like gave her a second chapter.
Oh, okay.
And then she really capitalized that she took. She Lisa knows how to take an opportunity and squeeze it and get it all out. So that's good for her. Now she's doing fashion, and she's got two model daughters, and like she knows how to reinvent.
She's like Kris Jenner.
She's like another Kris Jenner, but in a way, except she's not managing other people. And I don't think she always makes like as strategic decisions. Lisa, Kris Jenner is like really looking at the chessboard. Lisa's just taking all the shots she can take.
Yeah.
Kyle's like that too. Not as strategic, not as chess, but taking all the opportunities and not leaving any nickel on the floor of opportunity. And, knows all the same people, but yes. Yeah, so, and Lisa's definitely takes, and I mean this, and this is going to sound bad, but like they say, this is going to sound terrible, like the most beautiful version of a cockroach, because cockroaches never like die. Like Lisa Rinna is the most beautiful cockroach ever. Like she, you don't bet again. She's not going to die. Like she'll be fashion, the model, she'll be 92 years old and selling something somewhere. So she'll be selling Sunset at 92. Yeah. So, they're called, so then now, I relate to Sutton a lot. Dorinda would relate to Sutton, and I'll explain why. Ramona wouldn't relate to Sutton because Ramona will just like laugh off something. Ramona could say the worst thing about somebody at a table or make the biggest mistake of her life. 5 minutes later, have a glass of wine and let it go. She literally doesn't care. She would forget it happened. Yeah. Dorinda, Sutton, myself, we're in a mood. Someone has set us off. They've set us. They've said something. Someone's irritating us. We cannot shake it off. We cannot Taylor Swift it. We will just like, and so Sutton is in the moment and she can't just go with the flow. She just, her detestment, which is not a word, her detest, the way that she detests Crystal is in her body, and she cannot do it. She can't avoid it if she's in that environment.
That's it. That's so, I didn't know if there was something bigger when I watched it. I just don't know the backstory, but if that's it, I guess I'm kind of like that. Well, not like that with when Christine was on our show, like, because we had a friendship before. So that was a personal thing for me. Like when something happened and I would just shake, like because I was just blown away by the behavior and things that were said. And I was just like, it was a personal thing. It just broke my heart. Now things have happened since. I just stay out of people's business. So if something happens, something like with Chelsea, like, or something like that, I'm just kind of like, okay, man. Like, and I do, I forget things like right afterwards. I'm like, oh, I don't.
Well, that's good.
I don't care. I've moved on. Cause I'm like, if it like is a personal attack or something that is changing my life, fine. If not, then I'm like, I don't care what they said.
Well, you're not taking the bait, and I'm sure you have taken the bait. Everybody makes a mistake of taking the bait.
It's not a question.
Yeah. The name of the reality show Game is to take everything personally and to take the bait. So there can be a next scene. So it could be an explosion, then a makeup. Like that's the name of this game. And it also seems like this is very inside baseball, but they're like into the season. They're exhausted. You start to get stressed out. You think alcohol is the best idea because you're dehydrated and you're tired and you just want, and you get deeper into it. So Sutton's been called somebody who violated someone else. She just doesn't seem to like this person, which I totally relate to also with certain people. And there is a smugness to Crystal that is not taking the bait, but also taunting and antagonizing. Like there's a little bit of a taunting going on, which is totally triggering Sutton, and she wants to lunge for her. And I can relate to that.
Yeah. It was an interesting episode or an interesting scene to me because, knowing Crystal outside of that, she's like, she always seems like no drama at all and just very sweet. And then I watched that and I was like, Okay. But and there's always, I always believe there's two sides to it too, where if, you know, that's something personal and with the word violating, she was accurate on the word. However, it can be taken a different way, the way it said it. If that's a triggering word for something, then it's like, okay, I see both sides, but.
Well, first of all, knowing someone as an acquaintance in LA is very different than being in a pressure cooker with them on reality TV.
Yeah. And I don't know Crystal by any means.
Yeah.
I've met her and there's no, it's just, it was an interesting thing. Like the watching that scene was just interesting.
I agree.
I don't know who Sutton is either. Like this is the first time I've never heard of her or know. Who is she?
Sutton is friends with Kathy and, She's just a popular one on the show. She's good friends with Garcelle. She was married. She has a beautiful divorce settlement and is very wealthy. Apparently, she rented Kyle's house one season, and she seems like kind of real. Like, meaning she's a very, you know, she's a wealthy woman who holds no punches. And I don't know. I think this might be the only full episode I've ever seen with her, unless we've rewatched something else. I think I rewatched one other one at a party with Crystal and her. But I get why she's on the show. She's like the Dorinda character of this show. She's abroad and she's real and she's cool and she makes mistakes and I like it. I don't think that the characterization of her being irrational is correct. And I don't, and Crystal doubles down with like, yeah, I'm not apologizing and I'm not changing the word. And she basically says the whole quintessential housewives apology, I'm sorry if...
Yeah,
if it made you upset, which is not an apology.
Right.
And more importantly, I've always remembered this group doesn't have a great sense of humor. They laugh and they laugh at like partying and getting drunk, but like they're not particularly funny. And for nobody to laugh when Kathy said, who is hunky dory? What the fuck?
Thank you. I literally, when I watched it, I started dying laughing. And I took
what the fuck?
And I did, my mom's here for a couple days. And I took it and I was like, you've got to see this. And I was absolutely crying. I was laughing so hard. And my mom just starts laughing. She's like, she really doesn't. Wait, does she not know?
It's funny because. Like she said something in one of her interviews that made me realize now the producers want her to be that person. And she said some other thing that didn't land. It was around a Garcelle scene, but it was an interview. And Kathy said something else that was like not that smart and ditzy, but it didn't land. It wasn't like hunky dory, which was real.
Hunky dory was hilarious.
Yeah.
I was like, is it a Midwest thing? Is it, or is it like just her size, like, or like a country? I don't know, but she just didn't get it. And I thought it was the funniest thing ever.
Same. It was something about with her, what was in her purse or something. They were trying to force another funny thing in the interview, but it didn't land. Crystal said, you're just jealous. I hate the word. What upset? Okay. I tell you, Mary, you're jealous of me. Like what, why would I say that? What would I like, even if you were jealous of me, like what is me saying that to you? Everyone else is going to think I'm such a jerk. Cause like, why would I think anyone was jealous of me? Why wouldn't you be jealous of someone 24 with like a tight ass that, or a billionaire or so, like you're not jealous of me. And why would she say that out loud? You're jealous of what?
I know. Yeah. That word is thrown around so much. I think and I just don't, and maybe people are jealous more than I realize, but I mean, I'm not a jealous person. So it's always, I hear it all the time and I'm like, I don't know. Like if someone has, I mean, yeah, of course people have more. You're like, oh, I want that. But it's like, you do it in a, like not jealous, like in
aspirational.
Yeah. Like where, yeah, you look up to them. You're like, ooh, how do I do that? Okay. Like, and it's like motivating. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't know. I always think on a different.
No, me too. But even if, let's say you were jealous, would you admit it? Like, you're jealous. Oh, you're right. I'm jealous. But like, why would you say, like, you have such a high opinion of yourself to say to somebody else, you're jealous.
No one's ever going to admit to it. And then the person that says it just seems like an ass.
Totally. So Crystal said you're jealous and she seemed like an ass. And she opened up to a comment about your ugly leather pants. And that moment made me look at everyone's outfit. And this wasn't a good outfit party. We had one in the Hamptons where dressed like clowns, but they were not. I didn't think of everyone's outfit. Garcelle
wasn't any better. So I was like, when she did that, then I did look at the outfits too. And I was like, ooh, I'm going to pull out outfits, but considering what she has on. But I was like, I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to anybody else's outfit. It was just because it was a conversation between the two of them. Then it forces you to look. So
I went to everybody's outfit and I thought, this is not a good outfit party. This is not, it wasn't not Kyle, not Dorit, not Garcelle. Garcelle had fur sleeves and a big F hat everywhere with Fs everywhere. And Dorit was wearing a tie-dye rainbow outfit and the bolt belt was all the way in the back, tucked in a loop. And maybe that's supposed to be fashion. I don't know. It didn't land. She had a D-I-O-R barrettes.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that.
And her pink bag, which was a star. Kyle's outfit wasn't landing. I don't remember Kathy's. I don't really remember Lisa's. Sutton's had a lot of ornateness on them. And Crystal's shirt and those leather pants also weren't great. Nothing was that great.
I don't remember anything standing out to me oh, that's cute. But I only remember the two because in that scene, I was like, I just looked and they pan in on the pants and then they go back to Sutton. And I was like, ooh, that wasn't really a good choice either. But yeah, no one else really stuck out. I remember the Fendi hat. I do remember that one.
This is the ABCDEFG show. They have all the letters all the time. There was a throwback to a scene with Kyle where she had the G sweater. It has to always be a bunch of, there were two representations of letters in this episode. And I think Erica's wearing a Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Band jacket that had shoulder pads or red, white, and blue. I don't remember. It wasn't the best outfit. It just wasn't.
Was it a black leather jacket or something? Or?
I think with gold or red. It's flashing before my eyes. I don't remember. But I liked her plasticky interview look. And I liked Kyle's for her and for Beverly Hills, her opening yellow dress. And Kyle had a big genie ponytail and sequins in the interviews. The interview looks, I was always very, very simple and did not take it up a notch for the interviews. They always were my interview looks were just very nothing because I just couldn't deal.
They wouldn't let me do anything different in the beginning. And I didn't know. I just thought, okay, we're supposed to look like ourselves. But then on interview day, they have someone for hair and makeup. The rest of the time, we just take care of our own.
Amazing. Mary, so nice to meet you. Now we know each other. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.